I Think I Know Why the Dog Howls at the Moon.
Written by Suzuki Blue. Recorded at Podvacation 2019.
Read by Akayo,
Hedeka,
Vasilady,
Rena Jenkins,
Semper Fiona,
and Winged Words.
A Captain America, Avengers, and Marvel Cinematic Universe fanfic intended for teen and up audiences. No archive warnings apply. Relationship: James Bucky Barnes, Steve Rogers, Natasha Romanoff, Sam Wilson. Additional tags for Alternate Universe Werewolf, Alternate Universe Canon Divergence, Alternate Timeline, Post-Captain America the Winter Soldier, Pack Bonding, Pre-Relationship, Pining, Cuddling, Everyone is Polly because Avengers, at least everyone from Captain America the Winter Soldier.
Summary: they drive for a long time. All their old safe houses are compromised now, one way or another. Steve's skin itches and Bucky doesn't speak. Sam plays music that's old to him and new to them, and Natasha drives. Steve watches Bucky and listens to the music, low and slow, and tries to figure out what he's going to do. Half the planet's going to have Bucky on the most wanted list after the S.H.I.E.L.D. data dump. The other half's going to have Natasha, and who knows what anyone's thinking about him right now. Sam's probably fine, but Sam hasn't shown any sign of going home either way. Finding Bucky ends up being much easier than anyone was expecting. He's forgotten about the moon, is the thing. Steve can feel him with the moon, better than he can without. It's not hard to follow that bond, now that he knows it's still there to follow. Before, failing to get drunk in a bar in the 40s and grieving in the 21st century, he'd thought he just couldn't let go of his pack. He really can't let go of his pack, as it turns out.
Bucky,
he says from the other side of the museum exhibit he's just broken into, holding out a still-bruised hand and feeling the stitches in his gut pull him pleasantly, and someone who might be Bucky or might be the Winter Soldier stares warily at him out of the dark. Maybe he's both. Maybe he doesn't know himself. He knew enough to come here, one way or the other. Bucky, or whoever Bucky is right now, lets Steve lead him out of the dark museum and bundle him away in the van waiting outside. Natasha's behind the wheel. Sam's in the passenger seat. Steve and Bucky take up the back, hand in hand, and Steve's skin itches with the urge to let his wolf out. He doesn't know how Bucky'd react to that, though, so he doesn't. It's dark, the moon hanging low and fat in the sky, and all he wants is to be with his packmate. He's not picky about the how, so long as it's some part of Bucky. Even if it's the Winter Soldier, he won't complain. He misses him like a limb. If he has to hold in his wolf to keep him, he'll hold in his wolf.
All good?
Sam asks as Natasha heads off into the night, the moonlight passing over the hood of the van.
All good,
Steve says, squeezing Bucky's hand in his own. Bucky is silent, but gripping him tight as a lifeline, tight as he didn't manage to on that damn train. They drive for a long time. All their old safe houses are compromised now, one way or another. Steve's skin itches and Bucky doesn't speak. Sam plays music that's old to him and new to them, and Natasha drives. Steve watches Bucky and listens to the music, low and slow, and tries to figure out what he's going to do. Half the planet's going to have Bucky on the most wanted list after the S.H.I.E.L.D. data dump. The other half's going to have Natasha. And who knows what anyone's thinking about him right now. Sam's probably fine, but Sam hasn't shown any sign of going home either way. There are a lot of places they could go, but in the end they pick the obvious one. Everything they've done in their careers is transparent and public now. So they might as well be transparent in public, too.
Look what the secret spy organization dragged in,
Tony says when they turn up on his doorstep. He smells stressed and anxious and relieved all at once.
I guess I'm supposed to thank you for saving my life and the lives of a few million of my favorite people, but I'm more concerned you didn't bother calling when the world was burning down around your ears.
There was a lot going on,
Steve says. Honestly, it just hadn't occurred to him to call in reinforcements. Too much had been happening too quickly, and their options had been too limited.
My life has a lot going on. Yours just destabilized half a dozen governments,
Tony says, then catches sight of Sam and Bucky.
Who are the backup dancers?
Two long stories,
Natasha says.
Sam and Bucky,
Steve says.
Sam, Bucky, this is Tony Stark.
Iron Man,
Bucky says. It's the first thing he's said in front of them since the helicarrier. Maybe the first thing he's said since the helicarrier at all, for all Steve knows.
Speaking,
Tony says.
Stark men are made of iron,
Bucky says, and Tony quirks an eyebrow, then narrows his eyes.
Wait,
he says.
Your name is what?
We did say it was a long story,
Natasha says, neutrally, raising an eyebrow of her own.
Going to let us in or not, Stark?
You know I can't resist Captain America's sad puppy eyes,
Tony says, and Steve sighs. Tony gives them a tour, and also a floor. Tony, in fact, tries to give them each a separate floor, but that's a bit much, and Steve, well, he needs the others in his space right now. They all seem perfectly happy to all take a room on the same floor, which, considering there's still several rooms left over and plenty of space to go around, is not particularly surprising. Bucky still isn't talking, really, but he listens to what they say, and he hasn't tried to murder anyone, so that's probably fine. Or he thinks they're his new owners, or something equally horrible. So maybe not really fine. Either way, Steve isn't looking the gift horse in the mouth. If Bucky has the wrong idea about things, well, they'll have time to fix that later. For right now, it's more important that he's free and safe. God forbid Hydra had gotten a hold of him again in the fallout. Natasha sits down in the living room and starts cleaning her arsenal on the coffee table. Bucky sits down across from her and starts doing the same. Steve's not sure where either of them got any of the weapons, much less where they were keeping them all. Sam sits up in the kitchen, eyeing the plethora of groceries in the overstuffed fridge with a frown.
Did Stark have these sent up while he was giving us the grand tour, or were they already here?
He asks. Steve and Natasha look at each other, then just shrug. Knowing Tony, it could be either.
All right, then. Who's up for a very early breakfast, or a very late dinner?
Sounds perfect, Sam,
Steve says, although what would really be perfect would be letting his wolf out to prowl this new territory and send his, not his pack, even if part of him wishes it, most of him. They're still his people, though.
Need any help?
You could burn water,
Bucky mutters. Everyone looks at him. It's a reflex, at least on Steve's part. Bucky stares back at them and doesn't say anything else.
Okay. If your cooking is bad enough that Barnes can remember it through 70 years of brainwashing, then no, I do not need any help.
Sam says, pulling a carton of eggs out of the fridge.
You can set the table.
I can do that,
Steve says, after a moment longer spent looking at Bucky, forcing himself to turn away and stand up to go in search of plates. There's enough cabinets in the kitchen to hide half a battalion, so who knows where they are.
Thanks for the warning, Barnes,
Natasha says as she reassembles her handgun. Bucky stares at her briefly, then goes back to cleaning his weapons. She seems unbothered to be ignored. Steve, he wonders if Bucky knows how he found him. He wonders if Bucky remembers that they're pack. The idea that he might not is painful, but he's more worried about him than anything else. If Bucky doesn't remember, well, then he'll remind him. If he should, if it's right to, if Bucky would even believe him. He sets the table. Sam cooks a hell of a lot of breakfast food. Everyone eats, except for Bucky, who hesitates for a long moment before picking up a piece of bacon and biting into it, watching the rest of them warily the whole time. Steve decidedly does not think about why Bucky would be wary about eating, though he can't help noticing he doesn't touch anything on his plate until he's seen one of them start eating their own share of it. If he's worried about drugs or poison or just can't do a thing until he sees someone else do it, Steve doesn't know. It does remind him of Bucky sitting across from Natasha and cleaning his weapons the exact same way she was, though. He wants to reach out and comfort his packmate, but the more he sees of him, the less he thinks Bucky remembers, and touching him like that might not be the best idea. They all clean their plates. Steve clears the table and Natasha does the dishes. They go to bed in separate rooms, and Steve silences the wolf inside, yearning for closeness and pack. In his own room, he strips out of his clothes and lets the shape of it come over him, because it aches to keep it in. His body twists and bends and changes into the wolf, big and pale-furred and bright-eyed. He hits the floor on all fours, restless and anxious and wanting, right from the first moment. But he can't have what he wants. So instead, he paces the room, sniffing around it, and then lets himself out into the hall with a heavy paw on the doorknob and starts making his way through the rest of the floor. He smells Sam and Natasha and Bucky, all of them quiet and tucked away in separate places, not where he wants them, but safe, at least. No stress or fear or blood on any of them, and he smells the remnants of breakfast or dinner, and Tony's scent, faint and faded but undeniably present. He smells... Bucky moves in his room, and Steve goes still. The door opens, and Bucky steps out into the hall. Steve hesitates. He's not sure if Bucky will recognize him like this. He wouldn't be surprised if he didn't, after everything. Bucky stares at him, and Steve stares back, trying to look small and non-threatening. Bucky keeps staring, then thumps a fist against Sam's door, once, twice. Steve hears Sam get up with a groan, and a moment later his door's opening too, revealing him all handsome and sleep-rumpled and very distracting to look too closely at.
"Barnes,"
he says, squinting at him in sleepy confusion. Bucky points mutely down the hall towards Steve. He looks back at him guiltily. Sam follows his line of sight, then blinks slowly.
"Ugh,"
he says.
"Didn't know werewolves came in blonde."
Steve huffs and sits down, giving Sam a baleful look. Of course werewolves come in blonde. What color was he expecting?
"It's a dog,"
Bucky says. And Steve feels the words stab him through the heart, even though he was prepared for them. Sam squints at Bucky instead.
"It's Steve,"
he says.
"You remember that, right? At least it had better be Steve, or else we're probably about to get killed."
"It's a dog,"
Bucky says again, this time sounding hesitant.
"Werewolves are a thing,"
Sam says.
"You remember that, right?"
Bucky is silent, frowning at nothing. Sam sighs.
"Okay,"
he says.
"Well, that's a lot to unpack right there, Barnes. And I am too damn tired to figure out how to right now. Just don't worry about it, all right? He's with us."
"All right,"
Bucky says slowly, his eyes flicking to Steve again. Steve barely manages to repress a whine at the sight of his face, so guarded and confused and not recognizing him. He can feel Bucky as clearly as he can see him standing there. Can't Bucky feel him too? Is that gone too? Sam goes back to bed. Bucky stays in the hall, staring silently at Steve. He thinks about changing back, but he isn't sure Bucky would handle it well. It's a messy sight sometimes, especially when he's upset. It wouldn't be pretty. Bucky might not even remember werewolves. What the hell did they do to him? What's even left of him? In all honesty, though, Steve doesn't care how much or how little is left of Bucky, because he will go straight through anyone who tries to keep him away from him, no matter what. He will do anything it takes to see him safe. Anything. He's Bucky's alpha, even if the other doesn't remember it. Even if he never remembers it, he'll take care of him until they're both dead. Bucky comes over and, hesitantly, reaches out and pats his head. The sound Steve makes is embarrassing. They all get up around noon, and Sam makes lunch while Natasha dyes her hair a brighter red in the kitchen sink. Bucky sits at the table, seeming lost for what to do. He still seems to be having trouble making the connection between Steve's human form and his wolf one, but because he patted him, well, Steve's not ashamed to admit he hasn't changed back to human yet. It feels good to be the wolf after holding the change in all night, and better that Bucky will let the wolf in close without wearing that look like he's waiting for his next set of orders. He puts his hand on Steve's ruff and digs his fingers in, just the same way he used to.
"Haven't seen that shape in a while,"
Natasha observes after lunch, eyeing her reflection in the mirror she's propped up on the other side of the table and brandishing a pair of very sharp scissors with a couple of kitchen towels draped around her neck. She measures her damp hair out with a faint frown of consideration, then starts snipping away.
Does he not do the transformation thing usually?
Sam asks, glancing up from the dishes. Steve should really be washing those, but that would have meant changing back.
Not as much as you'd think,
Natasha says, scissors snip, snip, snipping away. She's going for jaw length, it looks like. Steve wonders if it's a sign of trust that she's letting them see this change.
I've never seen your hair this short,
Bucky says, and Natasha pauses.
It's been a long time since you've seen my hair,
she says, and Steve thinks, bye-bye bikinis.
You used to wear it.
Bucky makes a sharp little gesture across his forehead and then lower past his shoulders.
Blunt. Here.
Did I?
Natasha is giving him a perfectly neutral look. Bucky's frowning.
Da,
he says, his accent changing strangely.
Natalia, you were such a perfect killer, Luvovoya.
Natasha's scissors still, just for a moment, and she gives Bucky a very long, inscrutable look. Steve's Russian is terrible. My something, he thinks that was.
So I've heard,
she says finally, and then starts cutting again. Snip, snip, snip.
You shot me once. Do you remember?
More than once,
Bucky says, and again Natasha's expression is inscrutable.
Well, I'm glad we're all bonding,
Sam says. Natasha's gone to talk to Tony, hair freshly dyed and curled and makeup done differently than yesterday. Steve wonders if it's enough to make her look like a different person to strangers. Probably, since it's Natasha. Sam's on the couch, leafing through the newspaper and clucking his tongue every now and then. Bucky's on the other end of the couch, staring into space with an expression exactly as perfectly neutral as the one Natasha left wearing. Steve's still the wolf, and lying on the floor at their feet. He has to be. Bucky needs his alpha. Sam needs, well, he's not sure. Taken care of. Protected. It gets a little hard to think of it in human terms after he's been the wolf for a while. Bucky says something in Russian, still staring into space.
Sorry, man, I don't speak it,
Sam says. Bucky hesitates, frowning faintly, then rephrases.
Where's the captain?
He asks. Sam raises his eyebrows, then looks down pointedly. Steve's tail wags because he's always been so easy for Bucky. Bucky looks down at him, his frown deepening.
No,
he says.
He was smaller.
Maybe in the 40s,
Sam says.
Pretty sure this is the standard size now.
Bucky says, and puts his hand in Steve's ruff, just like he used to again, back during the war and back when Steve was smaller, a scruffy little mutt-looking excuse for a wolf that could barely change without having an asthma attack. Steve would burn down the world for him, he thinks, for any of them, but especially Bucky.
Do you remember your name?
Sam asks.
Like, actually remember it, aside from Steve telling you.
I don't know,
Bucky says guardedly.
Maybe. But I only remember how it sounds when he says it.
Yeah, that sounds like Steve,
Sam says, leaning over and putting a hand on Steve's ruff, too. His tail reflexively thumps against the bottom of the couch, and he licks Sam's arm. Sam huffs at him.
Oh, so werewolves like getting petted.
Steve wags his tail again, because obviously, and then remembers his human side and forces it to still. It's not that he doesn't appreciate the contact, obviously. It's just not... Sam scruffs his ears, and Steve's tail starts wagging again. Sam laughs.
You're a little more laid back like this, huh?
He says.
Or is this something else?
This is having his beta back. This is Natasha and Sam safe and perfect and unhurt. This is pacing out the confines of a new territory after losing the old one and dodging a terrible bullet and getting shot so badly that his wolf form still has the stitches. This is Bucky sitting on the couch with his hand in his ruff and Sam's hand on his head and Natasha's scent all over the kitchen. That's a bit much to say without a human mouth, though, so Steve just lets his tail wag for a little while longer. Natasha comes back, and Steve goes to his room to change back and put clothes on again. His hair is a rumpled mess and the half-healed bullet wound still hurt. He pulls himself together and gets dressed, tentatively touching the pack bond in his mind. Bucky doesn't respond, but something in it ripples, for lack of a better word. There's an awareness there, where before there was only cold blankness. Steve exhales and hopes. He fixes his hair, makes sure he hasn't torn any stitches in the change, and heads back out into the common room. The others are sitting on the couch, all in a row, and turn in unison to look at him. It flusters something in his human half and satisfies something in his wolf.
What's the plan, Cap?
Sam asks.
Aside from you avoiding aggravating your injuries.
Lay low and see how much of this is going to blow over,
Steve says. He can't really think of it as aggravating his injuries. The moon was full. Still is full, even hidden by sunlight. He'd needed to let the wolf out one way or another.
Probably not much,
Natasha says. The wolf wants to touch her. Steve resists the urge. The wolf wants to touch all of them, get his scent all over them. But Natasha's the only one who hasn't touched him. He doesn't know how to explain to her how badly he wants to get between her and the rest of the world.
Probably not,
he agrees.
But I think we can at least wait until Monday to start cleaning up the mess.
Why, Steve Rogers, are you taking the weekend off?
Natasha asks with a slow smile.
Sounds good to me, personally,
Sam says, rubbing his jaw. Bucky says nothing, but watches Steve wherever he moves in the room. Steve doesn't know what to do about that. He does the only thing he can think to do, which is sit down on the coffee table in front of him and ask.
You know me?
He says.
Yes.
Bucky says, eyes glittering strangely. It's a look Steve doesn't know, something some stranger put on his face.
You know you're safe here?
He asks.
No.
Bucky says.
You are.
Steve tells him.
As long as there's breath in my body.
That might not be very long, the way you fight.
Bucky says, his eyes flickering down, unerringly, to the places he shot him. Steve smiles humorously and holds back from reaching out to send him.
I'll do my best,
he says.
Captain?
Bucky says, lifting a hand and hesitating. It takes all of Steve's self-control not to snap it up. Instead, he lays his own out in offering. Bucky hesitates a moment longer, then lays his hand on top of his very carefully, like some feral thing that's never been touched in any way that didn't hurt. There's more animal in him than there is in Steve's own wolf, at least for this moment. Bucky licks his lips, and Steve holds himself back before he can do anything stupid and scare him off.
You're the dog,
Bucky says, like he's trying to figure out something so much more complicated than that simple fact.
I am,
Steve agrees, and that's the last thing anyone says for a long while. There are things they could be doing, maybe even things they should be doing. Sam calls some family members, tells them he's fine, he's not in D.C. right now. Natasha orders new clothes, ones that look nothing like the ones she's been wearing lately. Bucky stays on the couch, silent and still. Steve drifts between the three of them, never sure what they need from him. The wolf has some ideas, but the wolf's ideas don't translate well into human ones. He wants to push into their space, wants to press in close and comforting and hide them away from consequence, from the world they've changed, from the things they did out of necessity and the mistakes people will blame them for. It's not very different from the war, even if it was mostly different people that he wanted to protect then. They all do what they have to do. They do the best they can with the choices they have and with the choices they can make happen. Sam hangs up the phone. Natasha puts away her tablet. Bucky sits, silent and still. Steve's skin itches.
Dinner?
Sam says after a moment, glancing towards the kitchen.
You've already cooked twice,
Natasha says.
What? Are we going to eat out?
He snorts.
Point.
She sighs, rolling her head on her neck before tucking her feet up on the couch.
We could always order something.
And find out Hydra runs the local pizza joint?
Sam asks.
No thanks. I'm feeling a little paranoid for that this week.
I'd say that it was a little too paranoid, but I've heard worse,
Natasha says, frowning faintly.
Heard worse as in heard more paranoid, or heard worse as in done worse?
Sam asks.
Let's just say you should cook,
she says. Sam cooks. They eat. Tony swings by and steals Steve's plate for 3 bites worth of food, then forgets about it entirely to talk all their ears off about what he and Jarvis have been pulling out of the data dump. The wolf doesn't mind. Tony doesn't eat enough. The wolf is content, if anything, because Tony is bright-eyed and talking a mile a minute, a savage satisfaction in him.
Anyway, I'm pretty sure we're going to see some coups this week, and I definitely lost more board members than I would have expected. Although, really, I probably should have expected.
Tony says, and Steve nudges his plate a little closer to him. Tony doesn't know this, but everyone else does. Steve refuses to be embarrassed. Tony chatters on a little while longer, but makes a few more dire proclamations and takes a few more bites of Steve's dinner, and then swoops off in a rush because of something involving Pepper, though he doesn't explain what. Knowing them, it could be anything from a date to a corporate takeover.
Should we be worried about any of that?
Sam says.
It's not Monday yet.
Natasha hums, taking a bite of her own dinner.
You know, I'm willing to accept that as an answer,
Sam says, returning his attention to his own. Bucky hasn't looked up from his the whole time and is clearing the last of it off his plate as they speak. Steve just looks at the three of them, the pack bond in him aching to reach out. They go to their separate rooms to sleep, and Steve lets his wolf out again. The moon's still full, after all, or close enough to it that his wolf can't tell the difference. He paces his room, then leaves to pace the floor instead. It smells like his people who aren't his pack, and like a pack member he lost. It makes him yearn for Peggy, for the commandos, for the past, for anything of his past. Bucky's something of his past, of course. The wolf wants to go to him, wants to keep him close and safe. It wants the same thing for Natasha and Sam, and almost as powerfully. It's a lot, wanting all that. A lot for his human half, anyway. The wolf just wants. It's a lot, though, so instead Steve paces the floor and then curls up in the common room, in the same spot on the floor where he was when Sam and Bucky both touched him and Natasha wasn't there to. There's better places to sleep, but he slept in worse ones. He wants his pack. He doesn't have a pack, really. The Avengers are the closest thing to it, but they're not quite there. The closest thing he actually has to pack is Natasha bothering him about his social life and Sam reading him cold in the first 30 seconds of knowing him and Bucky not knowing him at all. And Peggy, who's already lived a long, good life without him and half the time doesn't know him either. He tucks his nose under his paws and represses the urge to whine in distress. They're all safe, even if they're not all his, and that's the important part. So what if Bucky doesn't remember him, and Peggy gets confused sometimes, and Natasha and Sam don't belong to him at all? They're still all safe. They're alive, and they're maybe not all okay, honestly, but still alive. That's what's important. That's what matters. Even if he misses them like a limb. Steve wakes up in the middle of the night to the sound of footsteps human ears wouldn't be able to hear. Instinct keeps him still. It might be an intruder, but it's far likelier to be Natasha or Bucky. They both walk like that. He doesn't know how Bucky sleeps, not anymore, but it wouldn't be the first time he's heard Natasha walking around in the dark. It's neither of them, it turns out. It's not even an intruder. Steve blinks in surprise and lifts his head.
Sorry, man,
Sam says lowly, giving him a tired smile.
Didn't mean to wake you.
Steve wags his tail. Sam smiles at him again, then heads into the kitchen and starts quietly puttering around. Steve smells something sweet and gets to his feet to investigate. He's making hot chocolate.
I'd offer you some, but I don't know how well that'd go over with a wolf's stomach,
Sam says wryly. Steve wags his tail again and sits down beside him. Chocolate does not go particularly well with a wolf's stomach, in fact. Steve's eaten a lot of things as a wolf, and chocolate was definitely one of the bigger regrets. But being close to Sam is better than being alone in the living room. Sam goes about making his hot chocolate, and Steve follows him around the kitchen like a dog, basking in his presence. He's probably being annoying, he thinks, but it's very hard to stop himself, and Sam doesn't seem to mind. He thinks the only way he could stop himself was if Sam seemed to mind.
Living room?
Sam suggests. Steve bounds ahead of him and jumps onto the couch. It's a bit too much, maybe, but his ears prick and his head swivels.
What's got you so excited?
Natasha asks from the hallway, raising an eyebrow at him. He sits down sheepishly, lowering his head. Her new bright hair and new makeup and new clothes are all perfect, like she hasn't slept at all.
Dunno. Nobody's shooting at us, so I can't imagine what to do it.
Sam says, sitting down next to him on the couch. Steve huffs, setting his head on Sam's shoulder. Sam makes a mildly surprised noise, and Steve's ears flatten as he realizes, that's strange.
Yes, that's too much. He pulls back and jumps down off the couch, shifting restlessly and debating crawling under the coffee table to escape. It wouldn't be very dignified, but he's not that attached to his dignity.
Hey, no, it's fine.
Sam says.
Just surprised me. You haven't been that touchy-feely with the human face on.
Steve tries not to look worried. Tony's got enough sad puppy eyes ammunition without him going around getting in the habit of actually making them. Sam gives him a thoughtful look, taking a sip of his drink.
You need petted more, man,
he says. Steve does not wag his tail at that idea. He steps away from the couch and heads toward the hallway, planning to go back to his room and turn human again before his wolf can get him in any more trouble. Natasha raises her eyebrow again as she steps out of his way.
I keep telling him to go out and meet a nice pack,
she says. Steve's ears droop automatically, and he lets out a quiet whine. He can't help it, in the wolf. He doesn't need to go meet anyone new. He just needs...
Who's messing with the dog?
Bucky asks groggily from the door of his room, rubbing at his eyes. Steve perks up again immediately, just as unable to help that reaction.
Me, I suppose,
Natasha says. Bucky grumbles something sour in Russian, stepping forward and shoving a hand into Steve's ruff. Steve leans into the contact, not even trying to figure out what he said. It made Natasha snort, though.
I think he's doing it to himself, actually,
Sam says. Bucky scowls at that, dropping down onto one knee and eyeing Steve, who is helpless to keep his tail from wagging. It's Bucky.
You feel weird,
Bucky says.
What the hell is that about?
Steve blinks at him, confused, then startles. Is he talking about the pack bond? Does he know what it is? Does he feel it?
That's not helpful,
Bucky says, scowl darkening. Steve jumps him. He shouldn't. It's a terrible idea, but he can't help it. Bucky goes down cursing, and Steve licks his face.
Get off!
Bucky protests. Steve licks him again, tail wagging furiously.
Steve!
Steve is absolutely never getting off him. Bucky feels him, at least enough to know the pack bond's there and respond to it. Bucky knows his name. Bucky is safe and unhurt, and here...
Stop that,
Bucky says tightly, wrapping his arms around him and burying his face in his ruff, his knees coming up to squeeze his sides. Steve burrows in as tight against him as he can, hooking his forelegs over his shoulders.
Shared life experience, hmm?
Natasha says casually. Bucky manages to push himself up against the wall, admittedly without any help from Steve, who really could care less about sitting up.
You're crushing me, Rogers,
he grunts, and Steve licks his face again, tail wagging even harder. Natasha makes an amused noise and comes over to crouch next to them, reaching over to give Steve's head a light little pat. She probably doesn't expect him to push into it so eagerly, but her brief flash of surprise is quickly hidden and she gives him another pat.
Oh, what? Now you're all having a party without me?
Sam says.
Clearly,
Natasha drawls. Steve perks up and looks over at Sam, tail wagging hopefully once or twice. Sam snorts, getting to his feet and coming over too.
You know, werewolves aren't my specialty, but somehow I get the impression that was an order,
he says lightly, sitting down against the wall on Bucky's other side. As soon as he does, Steve drapes himself over Bucky's lap and kicks his legs up into Sam's. In his defense, he was only half thinking about dragging Sam over if he didn't come on his own. Really? Sam laughs slowly and rubs his back, and Steve's tail starts wagging again. He's very sure he'll be embarrassed by this later, when he's remembering it as a human, but his wolf doesn't care, and honestly, he thinks it's got the right idea. Sam's petting him, and Bucky's still half embracing him, and Natasha's hand is on his head, and they all smell like him, like his. And it's very... and it's just... it's good. It's worth all the rest of it if he can have this feeling again, even if just for a little while. And one day, maybe, it'll be for longer. And there's also a lot of feels.
A lot of that, yes.
quote Moya? Yeah.
I love how we're all like, duh. I'm sorry, surprise Russia.
I think it means my book.
Yeah, this is not what you signed up for, I'm sorry.
I was reading ahead and I was like, ugh, like, surprise Russian, I feel bad for Bucky. And then I was like, wait. Be above Moya. Okay. Mm-hmm. Duh.
He says, his accent changing strangely.
I'm glad we're all bonding,
Sam says.
I think Sam is probably one of the most enjoyable parts here.
Sam is not setting up for any of this
Sam is
shit.
Like the normal person in this non-normal
At least he
group.
Came into this fic knowing about werewolves. Even if he misses them like a limb. I'm sorry.
So much emotion right there.
But he's not that attached to his dignity.
Hey.
Sorry. I'm just like picturing the whole coffee table like falling over and like kind of being attached to his back and like fucking Bronco. Yeah, it's, don't do that, Steve.
Bucky goes down cursing and Steve licks his face. Steve licks him again. Taggle.
I'm getting ahead of myself trying to say two words at once. Okay.
Bucky protests. Steve licks him again, tail wagging furiously. Okay.